Bible, you'll see that it is just called the land of Beulah one time, but, boy, that's good enough for me. Amen. I'm thankful God let Squire Parson write that song, that it's a place where we're going. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight with me, if you will. Look in the book of Job. I want to look in the book of Job. Now, don't you look at the very last chapter, chapter number 42 in the book of Job. And we'll talk about a few things there. Job chapter 42. I told some folks when I was a younger preacher, and I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, didn't know a whole lot about preaching, but I told them one time, I thought you're going to preach out of the book of Job. And told them if that didn't work, we'd turn over to Concordance and see how we could do over there in the back of the Bible. But learned a little bit more since then anyway, hadn't we? Job chapter number 42, everything that has happened to Job has happened, okay? As far as the beginning of the book, most of us know the beginning of it, how that there are some things that work in the unseen world that you and I just don't understand. We don't know, we don't understand it. And, you know, God gave this writer in the book of Job, he gave him all of the information that was necessary for us to understand that there are some unseen things that go on in the spiritual realm. There's some battles, there's some forces, there's some things that we don't know anything about. Chapter number one, when you begin to read that, you see how that it says there was a day when the sons of God appeared before God, and Satan was there also. And in that, boy, you know, that's kind of a surprising thing. And God asked Satan, asked him what he's been doing. He said, I've been going around up and down through the earth and doing my thing, if you will, aggravating people and causing difficulties and problems. And somebody say, amen right there, because that's what he does, right? And God looks at him and said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered him? And Satan said, well, I can't do nothing to him. He said, does Job fear God for naught? You know, the thing about Job is that God, you've kind of got a hedge around him. I can't do anything. I can't bother. You've hedged him off. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove that hedge, and you can do whatever in his life that you want to as long as you do not touch him. And the devil's like, well, boy, howdy, that'll help me a whole lot. And you know the story, as I say, how that things begin to happen in the life of Job. And he loses everything that he has. And the scriptures have already told us that he was probably, if not the, one of the most wealthy men on the face of the earth in his day. And he was blessed with 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. And they're all taken away from him. All of his camels, all of his oxen, all of his sheep, all of everything he had, it's all gone. It's all gone. And it's a test of the faith of Job. And let me just tell you, sometimes you and I get there, right? We get into those situations, and we don't understand it, right? And that kind of the idea you look at when you look at the book of Job is people say the essence of the book of Job is the thought about the question many people will ask you as a Christian. Then why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? I mean, isn't that basically what a lot of folks are saying? Well, why is that? Well, you read the entire book of Job, and I'll tell you this. I don't know that we ever understand the reason of absolutely why. We don't know absolutely why. We just know that it does happen. But thank God there's somebody to get you through it. Amen? And that's the idea to me behind the book of Job. Well, look here in Job chapter number 42. As I say, everything's already happened that's going to happen to Job. And it says in verse number 12 of chapter number 42, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of his first, this is talking about the 3 daughters, his first Jemima. and the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Kerenhappuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among the brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us, giving us this time here. And I pray now, just give us your direction and your wisdom through the evening. And Lord, just help us to see some things tonight. Let us rejoice in you and be glad for all the things that you show us. And we'll just give you praise and give you worship for everything you do for us tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, you notice that all of these things have happened. But I want you to notice what it says there in verse number 12. Job's been through trials. Job's been through the sickness of his own body and person and loss of all those things of his kids and his stuff. And everything's gone, right? And then it says here in verse number 12, after all of this has come through his life, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job. Look at that little word right there. More than his beginning. Boy, God blessed him there in the end more than he had in the beginning. And I want to tell you, I just want to take this little thought, this idea, getting to the more in life. Getting to the more in life. I mean, Job got to a place where God had blessed him more in the end here than he had even in the beginning. Now let me tell you, as we said there, if you go back and read in the very first part of it, I mean, you see that in the beginning he had all of these things. He had, a family, seven sons and three daughters and 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 1,000 oxen and 500 donkeys. And it said that he had a lot of servants in his household, a large household of servants, and that he was considered one of the greatest men in the entirety of the world. Man, he was, to me now, at this time, if you had to compare him, he would be a man like, Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or Elon Musk or one of these great guys. And I'll tell you something. Hey, all those guys have got billions of dollars. And, man, they're great. I don't know how they would react if they got pulled down to zero. I have no idea how they were read. But, you know, the point of it is not about them necessarily and not about somebody being rich. The point of it is, how would me and you react if we get into a similar situation or even a little bit of the situation that we see that Job himself has gotten into? And when you begin to look at it, I mean, man, we may go through some issues and some times and some stuff in our life. And as we go through them, are you thinking in your heart, I just can't go on, I can't make it, I'm not going to do, it ain't going to work? Or are you looking for the more? And I'll be honest with you here, I don't think that Job was necessarily looking for the more. I think he was just wanting to say, God, can I just wade through this? Can we just go through? Can I just get at least to the other side of it? I mean, he probably wasn't even thinking about more. He just wanted to get through with what he was going through. But aren't you glad the Bible tells you here that when this thing was over, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning? When you begin to look at that, man, it says here in the end, he had 14,000 sheep. He had 7,000 before. He had 6,000 camels. He had 3,000 before. 1,000 yoke. Before, he only had 500 yoke or 1,000 oxen. Now he's got 2,000. And 1,000 she-asses. Before, all he had was 500 of those donkeys. I mean, God has doubled up on him. And then if you read that, it says that God gave him 10 more children. Seven more sons, three more daughters. Man, ain't that a blessing? I mean, he got to the more. Well, let me just tell you this. Let's just look at a few things as we think about him getting to the more, how you get there to the more. how you get to the more. How did Job get to this place where he had more than he did in the beginning? Well, let me tell you this. First of all, on this trip to more, you may and probably will meet with some loss of some things in your life. You'll meet with some loss. And can I tell you, can you imagine? I sat there and kind of read some of this, and I've been reading it before, but I thought, man, I don't want to let this really settle in. Can you imagine how that things went this day in Job's life? Now, this was a day, okay? You go back and read that in that first chapter, and it said, and there came a day. I mean, this was in one day that somebody came knocking on the door and running up to him and said, hey, Job, I'm one of your servants, and I'm the only one that's left, and guess what? Hey, somebody's come in and they've stolen all your oxen. And while that's going on, somebody else comes in, knocks on the door, says, hey, Job, we got trouble. There's been some raiders come in and they took all the camels. And while that's going on, somebody else comes and says, hey, Job, got some bad news for you. Somebody's taken all of the donkeys. They've come and they've split up in teams and they robbed us and I'm the only one left. They killed everybody else. I'm the only one left. And while all of that is going on, then at the end of the line, somebody comes up, knocks on the door and says, Job, I got some real bad news. All of your kids were at the eldest son's house and they were having a feast. They were eating. They were doing what they'd normally been doing. And a strong wind came and it knocked the walls of that house down and it killed everybody there. And I alone am escaped to come tell you. Now, buddy, that's a bad day. I mean, that's a horrible day. I mean, here's one thing after another. Here's one calamity, two calamities, three, four. I mean, all of these things just piling on top of one another. And the Bible said when Job heard those things, that he arose where he had been worshiping and offering sacrifice. He got up and he rent his garments and he fell on his face. You know what the Bible said that he did? He worshiped the Lord. Wow. Isn't that a pretty strong statement to make? I want to tell you, I don't know if that's me or not. But I can tell you on this trip to more, hey, sometimes you've got to suffer some loss. I mean, you're gonna meet some loss along the way to more. And here's Job. Hey, I mean, if you think of it, we could say, as I say, like a modern day billionaire in the day we live, he had it all. But isn't it amazing how he lost it all in just a short matter of time? You may have a loss. I mean, you may lose your stuff, and you may lose what you think keeps you safe and what you think keeps you secure. Brother, you can lose it all. You can lose your self-worth. You can lose your self-dignity. You can lose your self-confidence. You can lose it all in one little short day. There is a place of loss when you go on this road to more. Amen? It may happen that, and you know, for a lot of folks in this room, there have been some things, buddy, you've had some significant loss in your life. And that's a tough way to get to more. But I'm just telling you, that's the road that Job had to be on to get to his place of more. You may meet with loss. Let me tell you this, on this road to more, you're going to need more love than you've ever thought about before. Amen. When you're on the road to being and having and finding more, you're going to need some more love than you know. You know what you're... First of all, let me tell you, you're going to have to love God like you've never loved Him. You're going to have to fall in love with Jesus more than you ever have. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, here's Job. He's lost it all. And you know when he's lost it all, what he does? Job gets up and he said, the Lord hath given and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You know why? Because he said, look, I've had stuff and I can probably get some more stuff and I'm just going to have to cut the losses of my stuff. But I can tell you, I've still got Him and I love Him. I don't know what's going on, but thank God I love Him. Amen. I love Him. I mean, there's been some loss, but I'll tell you, for Job, it tuned up his love. He loved him. His wife even came into him after he'd been stricken from the top of his head to the sole of his feet with a bunch of running and ugly putrid sores and just running infection and goop out. And he sat down in the ash pile, and his wife said, "Won't you just curse God and die? Give up, throw in the towel, and just forget it." And he said, "You speak as a foolish woman speak." He said, "Should we just receive good things at the hand of the Lord and not evil also?" And again he says, "The Lord giveth and he hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Woo, that's pretty good to have that attitude. I just don't know how many of us could. Amen? I mean, I'll just be honest with you. It's tough. Okay? When you're in that position, it's tough. But God's taken Job to a place of more. I don't think he knows it. I understand in reading on from chapters 1 and 2 where all these things are going on, and then a pile of his friends come in. You know what I decided? It goes in and it names the friends of Job. He's got three friends that come in and they begin to talk to him. And I figure this, Job's a billionaire in his day, okay, a multimillionaire, whatever he is, he's that. I believe these other guys probably are too, because you know who billionaires hang out with? Usually they hang out with other billionaires, right? Ain't none of them come over at my house lately. I don't know about, if they, y'all seen any of them, y'all had Musk and Gates and all them over. No, none of y'all have. Well, they ain't come see me neither, amen. But I think them guys kind of all grew. Well, they all got together, and you know what? They didn't have an ounce of encouraging words to say toward Job. They condemned him. They pointed their finger at him. They said, "You probably need to get right with God. You've probably done something that you've offended God. You got sin. You need to get that." I mean, brother, they was a crowd of real help then. Job's down, so they said, "Well, let's just kick him a little further while we got him down." Amen? And that's where he is. And, man, but you know what he decides he's going to do? He's just going to love God even more. He loves God. He said, I'm just going to love Him even though I'm down, even though I'm in this place. I don't like where I am, but I sure do love God. You're going to have to love God's person more. You're going to have to love God's plan. I mean, Job had no idea what God's plan was all about for his life, but he's about to find out. Can I tell you, when you go through any kind of loss in your life, I don't care what kind of loss it is, you have no idea what God's plan is in all of this. I mean, you just don't know. What's happening? I don't know. Do you know Job could have said the same thing? He could have said, "I have no idea of what in the world is going on, but I'm a hanging on for the ride." Amen? He said, "I'm just going to love God's person. I'm going to love God's plan. And I'm going to love on God's purpose for my life." God's purpose for our lives is that we magnify Him, that we turn to Him, that we look to Him, that we just simply stay with Him. That's what God wants me and you to do with our lives. Just hang in there with Him. "Well, preacher, things ain't going so good right." Just hang on, honey. More is coming. Amen. The day of more. I don't get it, and I don't know. And I'll tell you, I've been there, and I didn't get it while I was there. I didn't like it while I was there. But thank God, I praise God that He said, "I got more, honey. I got more." Amen? Woo, let me tell you, that's the way that this thing goes. So you may meet loss, and you probably will meet loss of some significance on your way to more. You're going to need more love on your way to more. And let me tell you this. You're going to need much learning on your way to more. Look back in this book of Job. Look back at chapter number 3. Go back several chapters. And look at chapter number 3. And just listen to a few things that Job says on this. All this has happened to him. His friends are not encouraging to him. And look what it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 3. "After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day." You ever been there? Man, listen to what he says. And Job's faith. Now, this is a guy, I mean, he loved God. He'd been close to him. And Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let the day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it." You know what he said? "I hate the day I was born." He said, "As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the month. Lo, that it might be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their morning. Let the stars of the twilight there be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it be the dawning of the day, because it shut up not the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes." And listen to this. This is when he gets into it. Listen, verse 11. "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why did the breast that I should suck? For now I should have lain still and been quiet, and I would have slept, then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold or filled their house with silver, or as an untimely, a hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There ceased wicked, there the wicked ceased from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master." He said, "Wherefore is light hidden, given to him that's in misery, and life unto the bitter and soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and diggeth for more of it than the hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave." Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? "For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For which thing I greatly feared is come upon me. That which I was afraid of is come unto me." Wow. Old Job says, why? And that's the question, isn't it? Why, why, why? And more times than not, you know what we say? Why me? Why me? Why am I here? Why did this happen to me? And so let me just tell you this. From what you have written here in Scripture, I believe you and I can, you know, draw this from it. It's okay to ask why. When things are going on, it's all right to ask why. It's well within reason. You know, there's people who say, well, you shouldn't question God. Well, Job did. Job said, "I want to know, why was I even born? If it was going to come to this point, if I was coming to this place, and if these things were going, why was I born if all this was going to happen to me? Why am I even here? I mean, I should have been, it'd just been better if I'd been stillborn, if I'd just died as an infant. I mean, it'd be a whole lot better than what I'm going through right now. And can I tell you, you'll get there sometime too. But you know what we need? As I said, you'll need a much learning. All the whys of chapter number 3, oh, let me tell you, they give way to the who of chapter number 42. Look back in chapter number 42 with me now. We've looked at Job saying why, but look what happens. God begins to talk to Job. And it's God and Job talking, chapter 38, 39, 40, 41, until you get to chapter 42. God is explaining some things to Job, but he's not explaining the why. He's just letting God see who. And look in chapter 42 and verse number 1. When God gets through talking, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not. Job said, I've been talking and I really didn't understand what I was saying. I've been asking why. I don't know what in the world I'm talking about. He said, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee. He's talking to God. And I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. God, I'm ready to listen to you. Talk to me now. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. That's the most important thing right there. He said, wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. The why of all of that way back there, now, through a series of days and hours and minutes and, you know, this time has come to pass. And Job is sitting there and said, I'm a dummy. Amen. In so many words, I'm just dumb. I'm just ignorant. I'm just, God, I'm sorry for what I've said and how I've asked and how I've behaved even. From the thing, he said, I know that you know everything, and there's not a thing in this world can be withholding from you. And I've said some things and talked about that I don't even understand them. I don't understand them. But these things are too wonderful for me, and I didn't even know them. You talk, he said, and I'll listen. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Sometimes you and I think we've heard of God, and we have. We've heard about it. He said, but now I see you. Amen. In the things that are going on in my life, Job says, I begin to see God and how that's all I need to see. He said, and because of that, he said, I just absolutely hate myself. I abhor myself. And I repent in dust and ashes. I mean, he sees this and then, do you see the wonders of all of that? Now, we'll jump on, if you will, and God begins to talk to them again. In verse 7, God spoke to Job, and then the Lord spoke to Job's friends. And he told them what they should do, that they should go and offer an offering and repent of some of the things that they've done. At the very end of verse number 8, it says, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you've not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job did. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Look in verse number 11. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and they that had been of his acquaintance before, and they did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. And God doubled up his blessings on Job. He got to this place where he'd come through all of the lesser, all of the bad, all of the evil, all of the tough times in life. And it said, and God, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He got to the more. I want you just for a few minutes, let's look at that. This is just something that has always, I mean, it's just captivated me, thinking about the more of Job. Notice what it says. And Job, the Lord gave him, and it said, gave him, you know, the 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, yoke of oxen, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. And it said that he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And you notice that throughout this whole thing, he had had 7 sons and 3 daughters before. We never knew their names. He's got 7 sons and 3 daughters again, and we don't know their names. except for the daughters. Look at those three daughters. And just for a minute, think about them. It said he had also seven sons and three daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima. Amen. I don't know if that's where Aunt Jemima came from. I have no idea. Might be. I don't know. But her name was Jemima. You know what Jemima means in the Hebrew? In the Hebrew, Jemima speaks of, its base has the idea of something that has warmth and affection. And it many times some of the folks that do Bible history, Bible study, all this, they say that it means a dove. Okay, that may be. But the root base of it comes from a word that means the daybreak. And can you imagine? I think when Job's wife births his first daughter, looks at him and said, Job, what we going to name her? He said, we're going to name her Jemima. And he said, why? He said, because the day has broken forth. And the darkness is long past. We're behind with all of these things that brought sorrow and that brought pain and that brought hurt into our life. And now God's blessed us with this little girl. Let's just call her the day star of our lives. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad of that? That God can place some things in there. When you get into the place where God's beginning to give more, that He gives you some things that you didn't even think about. And you can say, isn't this just a real blessing? I mean, it's like a new day dawning in the life of Job. And then apparently some time goes by and they have a second daughter. And that second daughter, his wife looked at him and said, what are we going to name her? He said, let's name her Keziah. Keziah, yeah, that's her name. Keziah. And the name Keziah relates to a particular powdered bark product that they used in those days. It came from what they call a cassia tree. It was actually what Keziah means, like of the cassia, which was a compounded, crushed herb that gave off the sweetest smell and fragrance known to men in their day. And he said, boy, God has blessed us so much more. And it's got a sweet smell to it. Can I tell you, when God begins to do some things, oh, listen, you know what Job had done? He remembered sitting in that ash heap. I don't know, I mean, I'm not trying to be gross or ugly or anything. Have you ever been around people that have been sick and had infections and open sore? It stinks. And you could say that even for Job could say, my life used to stink. But now, look here. God's put the sweet smell, the perfume of His goodness back into our lives. And we'll name her Keziah. And then, a little bit of time goes by again. I don't know how those boys fit in, but he probably named them Knucklehead and Goof Off, and I don't know what all he named them, but anyway, we don't get told what they are. Hey, boy, buddy, you know, whatever. I don't know, but they had another daughter, and he looks at his wife, and he says, "You know what we're going to name her?" She said, "He said, let's call her Karen Hapuk," and she's like, "What kind of name is that?" And the name Karen Hapuk means it actually means a horn of cosmetics. Some of you ladies ought to get up and shout right now. Amen. I mean, actually what it's talking about, it refers to the kind of cosmetics. Actually, they said it was the horn of antimony. And antimony was a cosmetic that the women put on their eyes. I don't know no women like that. They don't put anything on their eyes to make them look better. But that was her name. And that probably indicated that she had, you know, there was just some brightness about her eyes, the way she looked. I don't know. Whatever it is. But, man, she had that name that meant, well, it meant the beauty of the glories. And wow, that's who she was. She was, as a matter of fact, you read that, it said that his daughters were the fairest in all the land. That meant that he had the most beautiful girls. I mean, he had to run the boys off, amen, to stay away from them girls. I'm telling you, he had three of the most beautiful girls. And those girls were the pride and joy of him in that life. And all of them had this particular beauty about them. I mean, there's old Glory Eyes. Woo, there she is. And I mean, there is Keziah. And there's Jemima. And they're all beautiful little girls as they grow up. And, you know, there's just something about this whole picture that says a little bit more, maybe, than we understand. But let's look at it just a little bit further in the idea of, he's got these three beautiful daughters. And I want you to notice what things it says in this that these girls wind up with. I mean, you got to realize this. And you think about it. We think this was, we don't know exactly a whole lot about the book of Job. I mean, really, about when it was written. We know it's one of the earliest books that is written. We don't know the exact time period, but we feel like it was a time back in the days of what they call the patriarchal period, when men lived such as Abraham and Terah, his father. I think, if I'm not mistaken, 210 years old was how old Abraham's father was. I think Abraham's 175 when he died. I mean, these guys lived a long time, right? Every one of them lived a long time. So here is Job, and we don't know, but somehow scholars have kind of figured out when all these things begin to happen in the life of Job, they say he was probably between 70 and 80 years old. He started having all these difficulties from the loss of everything, from the sickness on his body, all those things that came through. He's probably in that age range. But listen to what the Bible says here. Here he is, I mean, 70, 80, whatever he is, and he had all these kids. He had 10 kids. Somebody say amen right there. 20 kids in all, right? 10 when they were younger, 10 when he and his wife are older. How some of you ladies liking that right about now? Amen. 10 kids and you're over 70 years old. Deliver me. Amen. Right? Well, but look what it says. And in verse number 15, and in the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. I mean, just think about this. When you look at those three girls, I mean, I was thinking about, first of all, man, they had some great names, didn't they? I mean, can you imagine? Anybody in here name your kids Jemima? Keziah? Karen Hapuk? I mean, did y'all try it? No, didn't try none of that. I mean, they had some great names because of what those names meant. But not only that, I want you to get, they were good-looking girls. Amen? I mean, that's what it says. They were the most beautiful women in the land. They were blessed. They were blessed as far as, you know, just from their name. There's some people in the Bible that have some names. I mean, that you remember back over in the Book of Chronicles, it talks about Jabez, and it talks about his name meant born in sorrow. Wow, what a name to have, right? But these girls were born, and they're all called beautiful. Every one of them, through their names, there's beauty. But when you think about it, I mean, they had great names. They were good-looking girls. Listen to what it says here also, that they were given an inheritance among their brethren. Generally, in the culture of that day, the boys got an inheritance, but the girls didn't. They got married, and they got what their husbands had, right? Well, these girls, Job said, they're so sweet, wrapped around that little finger, wasn't they? Amen? They had old dad wrapped, that he gave them an inheritance. And what did he have? He had twice as much as he'd ever had before. Amen? Well, I'll tell you, Sam Walton and your crowd move over. Job and his girl, look, I mean, man, they're loaded. Amen? They got stuff in their day. And here they are. But let me tell you, look at this. One of the greatest blessings I think that they get is that they have what I'm going to call God's goodness upon them for some generational blessings. After this, after Job had been through everything he'd been through, Job lived 140 more years. 140 years. He was sick. He was eat up with a corrupted disease. He had been through all of this terrible stuff in his life. And now God's blessed him and doubled up what he'd given him. And he lets him live another 140 years. Amen? Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? If let's say he was 70. And he lives 104. He's 210 years old. And he's looking up and saying, God, I remember the time when I had less, when I went through and lost all of it. I went through some, but I remember the day that you gave me more. More than I'd ever had. And can I just praise you for that? And buddy, he walked home with God for another 140 years. Wow, that's getting to the more. That's getting to the more. And I just love how this ends up at the end. And it says, so Job died. There's a lot of verses through your Bible in the book of Genesis, some of those, and it'll say, and he died, and he died, and he died. And it tell you that, but it says here that Job died, but look, being old and full of death. And what it means is this, not just that he lived a lot of days, but he lived some full days. Days where he was filled with the goodness and the blessings and the touch and the hand and the worship of God. I mean, his days were just full days. He was full of the goodness of God. And isn't that the way we all want to go? Isn't that the way we all want to go? I mean, man, I remember long time ago, I was probably in my 30s. And I don't know why, but just began to look at people and things that were happening. And I began to wonder this. I've never really told anybody too much about this, but I used to wonder. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do if, when something happens to my mother and my daddy? And I did. I began to wonder about it. Maybe some of you have done the same thing. You begin to, you know, get some concerns. And at that time, my parents were probably in their 60s. And I mean, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. But can I tell you, boy, Daddy was 96 when God took him home. And Mother, like 2 weeks of being 97. And I thought back to that a lot of times, and I thought, wow, there's so many of you, so many people here, you weren't blessed with that fortunate days and times of being with your parents. But I was. And you know, and I think about it, man, when I read that they died being so many years old and full of days. Boy, we had a lot of good days. Amen. Can I tell you, I don't care who you are, you've got loved ones, you've got friends, you've got family, and just think about that. You had those full days of the blessings of God. And you can say, you know what, preacher? God got me to the more. Oh, there were some days, there's some days for all of us that we felt like it was less. We felt like it was loss. Felt like we needed to, boy, we just were in a mess. But God said, hey, I want to take you on to more. God has certainly done that with me. And I think me and Sister Lynn both could say that. We've been through some time when we think, boy, that was it. We was at the bottom. We were out. But then God said, wait a minute. I got more. And then he allowed us to come together. And he blessed us. Still is blessing us with that more. Can I tell you, I don't know what kind of shape you're in or what kind of, you know, condition you're in with that. But God has more for you. He's got more for it. I don't understand the, and it's like Job. Job had no idea what that meant and where it was going. But man, when he got there, God gave him the more. God gave him the more. What about you? Now, do you need more from him? Be a good time to come down here and talk with him about it. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song, if you would, this evening.